Welcome to another episode of Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. I'm Dr. Paul, your host. I want to remind viewers that the members area has extra content, full-length, uncut videos of interviews. Today's interview, I feature Dr. Judy Mikovits. She has the book Plague of Corruption and her new book Ending Plague. This interview, folks, covers some very important messenger RNA vaccine technology, the science behind it. She goes over some of the connections between old HIV research, Fauci, the role of something called syncytin, what happens when you introduce mRNA from other animals. XMRV is explained. This is good stuff, folks. And there's the importance of the innate immune system explained like never before. That's the branch of the immune system, folks, that keeps us healthy, even if you don't have antibodies. What? You can be healthy and you can get over infections or avoid infections without antibodies. Learn how that happens. We're going to learn biochemistry pathways. You're going to want to watch this one a few times to understand it. And this interview also includes her recommendations and suggestions for supplements to boost and support your immune system, but it's done in a way that you can understand the biochemistry. You will love this show. Bernadette closes it out with the significance of what's in the news, how it impacts us, and how we interface with that. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul from the Heart, this month I turned 65. Whoa, 40 years since I started medical school. And I was reflecting back. You know, as a child growing up in Africa, I didn't see any chronic disease. Literally, we just had the common infectious diseases of the time. And even when I was in medical school, we weren't seeing all these problems. But so much has changed in our world. My heart aches for parents today. How do we as parents protect our kids? How do we even connect with our kids? How do we nurture them and how do we guide them? The digital world is a disconnected world. And our kids live between the space of being masked at schools, if you live in the state that I'm in, or in many states, and then they're on the screens. We need table time, we need family time, we need living room time, we need time as parents to connect and talk about everything that's going on in our kids' world. So that's heavy on my heart as I think back and think about where we are today. We need connections, we need community, and I want to thank all of you who tune in to Against the Wind. This is a new community we're developing, and thank you. Welcome, Dr. Judy Mikovits, to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. We've been on stage together a couple times recently. It's such an honor and a privilege to have you on the show.
It's fabulous to finally be on the show. Thank you.
So let's move forward to COVID. Right. And I almost feel like somehow this shot is so much more dangerous than anything we've ever done.
And you know why?
Tell me.
Well, number one, it's not a vaccine in any way, shape, or form. It's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. They either, if it's the protein, you've got it on an adenovirus vector. That's exactly the way we make gene therapy, have for decades, on an adenovirus vector, because it goes in the cells. We use murine leukemia viruses. Why? Because they integrate. So retroviruses are the family of viruses that have reverse transcriptase. So they take mRNA and write it backwards, reverse transcriptase, write backward into DNA. And then they have a little gene called integrase that's a pair of scissors that cuts open your DNA and inserts the provirus. If you insert the provirus, every time the cell replicates, you make more viruses. And those can either cause many cells to get infected, or if they're latent by DNA methylation. Why this is dangerous? Because you're taking messenger RNA, and we, the scientific community, or nobody appreciated until the technology to sequence the entire genome. Remember, 2004, Craig Venter and some other people in the NIH sequenced the entire genome and found that 97%. So the central dogma of molecular biology, DNA to RNA to protein, transcribe and translate. So mRNA. Well, 97% of the mRNA is regulatory, changes the expression of your genes. It doesn't make proteins. And so now, why would you inject synthetic RNA that doesn't break down the way God intended, that has those hairpin loops or ladders? And I show it in some slideshows in pictures. You put it in a synthetic virion that doesn't go in only to certain cells, like HIV only went into CD4 T cells and macrophages, so you were limited in its damage. But now you've infected ACE2 receptors, your lungs, you can breathe it in, and then you've got XMRV, which can go in the stem cells. In every cell in the body, we express our God-given XMRV, and there are three of them. There are two beta retroviruses and one gamma. They might be on four chromosomes. And so it really has to do with the regulation of your genes. So you're going to create these autoimmune disease and this immune compromise. And we could appreciate that you won't make the antibodies if you've gotten the injection. So a natural, when we saw the movie Vaxxed, and so this is where they want to keep us apart. So that was where the Disneyland outbreak, they wanted to convince you it was the unvaccinated spreading disease. No, the vaccinated are anergic, meaning they don't ever make antibodies. And how do I know that? Well, because I make a drug called, or used to be part of a drug, making drugs called, for a disease called common variable immune deficiency. It's not a primary immune deficiency, it's acquired immune deficiency. You don't make certain subclasses of antibodies because you're exhausted or anergic, say IgA in the gut and other things. Too much is hitting and destroying your ability. So in measles, There's a product, IVIG, immunoglobulin, intravenous immunoglobulin. So you take pooled human donors and you give them, you give people with common variable immune deficiency and primary immune deficiencies, and you give them IVIG, and it's very expensive. Yeah. Well, the manufacturers of that happen to be about half hour down the road from me right now. And I work with some of them, and I'm in a yacht club with some of them. And they said, Judy, the FDA has a requirement for measles antibodies above a certain threshold. And oh, so quietly during the whole, you know, the vaccinated, unvaccinated or spreading disease in Disneyland and all that bull crappy BS, all that BS that they put on the news in 15, 16, 17 to drive and force the inoculation of everyone so everyone gets it. So they no longer have the control that you and others have, that the unvaccinated, to really understand the mechanisms I'm saying. So the FDA just took away the standard that you have to make measles antibody. So they're anergic, because the only people making measles antibodies are over 63 or so, or those that never got the vaccine. I had a very serious case of measles, but I'm not going to make, and I was in a dark room. I got to stay off school for 5 days.
Were you a kid?
Yeah. Well, I was 5 years old. Yeah. And I'll never get breast cancer. I'll never get breast cancer. So think about the excess. So what we now appreciate is if you get childhood diseases and you develop the innate immune responses, you don't inject it in a way other than God intended. If you develop healthy innate immune responses to childhood diseases, you'll never get certain cancers. Mucins from mucus forming, that's ovarian cancers and things like that, because you've dysregulated the expression of that innate immune response, and therefore you're developing more cancers in earlier and earlier and earlier in life.
There, folks, is the explanation for the data in the control group. You can go to thecontrolgroup.org. It's a massive study, and there was no cancer, zero cancer. That just blows my mind in the unvaccinated people in that survey, which included 48 states in the United States. So the statistical significance of that was off the charts. It's just fascinating to start to learn that everything we thought we knew isn't quite so. And wow, you bring a lot of powerful information. Do you want to flip on your presentation, maybe power through some things? Because I got to witness, when we were speaking together, your presentation, and I think it's visually helpful to see
some of
that information.
This is what I just said in a nutshell. And COVID-19 is not caused by SARS-CoV-2. Why do I say that? And why do I say HIV doesn't cause AIDS? Because in order to be a causative factor, every person with evidence of infection must have disease. And we know 99.97 people with evidence or PCR positive have absolutely no disease. There is no such thing is a asymptomatic carrier of a coronavirus. Well, we now appreciate that SARS-CoV-2 is actually, as I just said, HIV, XMRV, and SARS. So it's a tripartite chimeric retrovirus. So now there are asymptomatic carriers of retroviruses. So in your inoculation game plan, you're going to kill the cancer patients, you're going to kill the AIDS patients, HIV carriers, and you're going to kill XMRV. You're going to take out 20% of our country, and they're all the people you've injected with the other animal and other human viruses in the contaminated cell lines, because all cell lines are contaminated with a viral genome. So what you want to control in this picture here is the type 1 interferon response and the antioxidant immune response. So you need a powerful antioxidant, because as I show you here, they're big flying rats. You generate awful lot of free radicals, oxidative stress when you have a big flying rat flying through the air. So you have to have a hair trigger release of interferon alpha to silence the viruses, all those viruses, because they're going to stimulate more oxidative stress and kill the animal. So you need to keep the regulation of the innate immune response, the type 1 interferon pathway. So this is literally right before I graduated from college, March 31st, 1980, the big if. And Joe Cummins, and it's all in our book, Ending Plague, was making this fabulous bovine interferon that works fabulous on humans. It's a nasal spray. It's highly purified. It's safe. It's clean. Spray it in their nose. Spray it anywhere. So the FDA went and raided him about 30 years ago and stopped the sale of the product for his animals. He's a veterinarian for animals. Oh, so what are you going to get if you stop the product for animals? Oh, you're going to get a lot more transmission of animal viruses to humans. You're going to get expression of the animal's latent viruses, and they're going to be transmitted to humans in any number of different ways. So you're going to accelerate the evolution of animal viruses. But this simple spray is almost impossible to find right now, because the FDA doesn't want you to know if you spray that up your nose, you'll never test positive. I spray it in my throat, spray it right before you. You never let anybody do a nasal swab, only spit. PCR is the amplification of nucleic acids in liquid, not in snot, not in a Q-tip, not in anything but other than liquid. So that's all you need is to spit in a tube. Glyphosate, what destroys our key cellular antioxidant? glyphosate. Glyphosate is one of three amino acids is glycine. Glyphosate is glycine with a phosphate molecule in the end of it. And I highlight Stephanie Seneff's work in our book, Ending Plague. And we talk about how simple products like I show here, Immune Formula 200 is simply glutamate, highly purified, cysteine, and glycine. And then you have clean as food amino acids. You can't get clean amino acids from the soil. You can't get minerals. You've got glyphosate taking out the minerals, taking out the nitric oxide, the exchange of gases in plants. So your plants are sick, your animals sick, and by definition, then the humans are sick. So this was a paper literally in 2020. So glutathione is the most likely cause of COVID, not the infection, because remember, the SARS-CoV-2 wasn't the disease. So put in clean glutathione and you won't get COVID, just like the big flying rats don't get sick.
Yes, let me just correct one statement. I think you misspoke. I don't want our audience to hear it wrong. The lack of glutathione is the cause of problems.
Correct. Endogenous deficiency of glutathione. Sorry, I didn't read the whole thing. Lack of glutathione. But it's hard to put back in because it's unstable.
Right.
And it doesn't get to the tissue. So what you want are the building blocks. You want the clean amino acids, glycine, glutamine, and L-cysteine.
Right.
You know, so we know N-acetylcysteine is good for you because you got to have good building blocks. Those are amino acids. Our food is toxic. And when you chelate the micronutrients because of the glyphosate in the soil is destroying the soil's minerals. And so it makes things totally worse. So this is the product that we've been endorsing. And I was introduced to it by Ted Fogarty. So this was a 2014 paper about what I basically told you about animal proteins. All vaccines are GMOs, genetically modified organisms, by definition, because remember, you can't have a patent if you're natural. So interestingly, at all times, that mRNA they tell you doesn't go into the nucleus, they're lying. And doesn't change your gene. It is genetically modifying your own genome. And you've injected 50 billion particles injected into every cell of the body of a synthetic virus. This is why that toxin is so bad. Number one, it's not a vaccine.
And
so,
what are your thoughts about the fact that when you GMO, genetically modify humans with a COVID vaccine, in this instance, the possibility that that's going to be generational, in other words, passed on to your children?
It absolutely is, because we know from our work with the XMRVs and mothers with CFS, even if their kids don't get vaccinated, and you've probably struggled with this because the person said, wait a minute, I eat clean and I didn't. Four generations that you acquired that potential to express those. So without dimethylglycine and other things, you've altered your endogenous God-given genome and you've bypassed it. And that's some of the problem. So you see all of these hazards of GMOs are the hazards of the COVID vaccine. Oops, they're not all the hazards of, let's just say, a measles vaccine, which is deadly in and of itself for certain populations. This one is deadly for every human being. And by all of these methods, spreading antibiotic and drug resistance. One of the things we're seeing right now is there's an antibiotic resistant Pseudomonas aeruginosa, a very common bacteria, but it's also common as drug-resistant strains in hospitals. Oh, so what can cause that evolution accelerated from a hospital? Oh, all the doctors and nurses are vaccinated, and spreading it to the compromised patients who are otherwise picking up the bacteria in the hospital and getting drug-resistant strains. So you're getting sick with a fever of 103 and 102, and you took your Z-Pack, or in many cases, you're just doing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine because you're worried about SARS-CoV-2 that never was the cause of COVID. All of these things are. And the transgene is what we've got in every hepatitis B vaccine, in every Gardasil. You've got a transfected gene, an oncogene, a cancer-causing, that's Gardasil. Previously, the deadliest vaccine is very similarly made in the synthetic particle to the COVID shot. So these are all the toxicity, and they're exacerbated by the herbicide-tolerant genetically modified crops. So you've got this explosion, and they've carefully planned it over the last 40 years as our soil becomes more contaminated. If you look at the left-hand side, so SARS-CoV-2 is depicted on top. The synthetic virus is depicted on the bottom. So you're doing the same thing. And then you've taken all these little things like graphene oxide on the bottom here. Graphene oxide, you've got hairpin loops in the RNA. So it's not just the RNA like this. You have to stabilize it. And some of the stabilization in the manufacture of that synthetic lipid nanoparticle, that's a virus. Synthetic, a lipid nanoparticle is a virus. It's a lipid because it comes from the fats from your cells' membranes. And it's produced, and the only thing that shows through is the spike, because all the rest of this is self. The blue is self. The spike is non-self. And so in this case, it's all synthetic. Robert Malone got the patent for knowing what this lipid nanoparticle has to go into every cell of the body and has to open up and release the mRNA into the cytoplasm and have it be translated. So if it has too many hairpins and too many other stabilizing, it will take a shape that won't allow it to be translated. And that's really important when we think about other drugs that can help us in order to stop the synthetic virus from causing. So one of those things that we mention is ozone therapy, because again, this is an ozonated cream will break apart this. Ozone on your skin in a lavender soap or an ozonated oil in your growth will break apart the synthetic lipid nanoparticle before it gets into the cell and before it stays stable. And the minute this RNA is let out into the blood, we have a lot of mechanisms that gobble it up like a Pac-Man. There's surveillance of the macrophages, the natural killer cells, anything like this. Just go gobble those sick cells up. Any cell that's broken up, that's their job. So to break apart that synthetic lipid nanoparticle, you can use ozone therapies or specialized pro-resolving lipid mediators, which I'll show you. You can use chlorine dioxide. You can use MMS. And you can break about that particle and release its contents to your immune system, and your immune system will handle it as long as your immune system isn't too dysfunctional. So you have to be really careful, because we're all in some respects right now an AIDS patient, because we've all been exposed or inoculated in some way. And so this was the heart of my PhD thesis. The monocyte macrophage drives AIDS and cancer. And that if you keep the regulation, and what we didn't know, I didn't know it until 2 years ago, is that every tissue system of your body has a resident stem cell macrophage that in embryology and ontogenesis comes before the bone marrow macrophage. Very, very important. So this, the brain microglia, by themselves have stem cells. If you destroy the brain microglia, their stemness, if you cripple them with aluminum, as in these aluminum vaccines at birth, like hepatitis B, if you cripple them, then by definition, every time you cripple them or add more toxin into the brain, blood-brain barrier doesn't help you if you inject it directly. Sorry, that's not how God made us. The eye, we're seeing all the eye damage. From the shot. Why? Because the eye is an immunologically privileged site. You don't wear a mask and blow poisons into your eye. We're seeing styes, pink eye, cataracts, or fibroblasts driven by TGF-beta to grow on the wrong side of the lens and not holding the retina in place in the backside of the lens, not as architecture. So we're seeing a lot of detached retina. We're seeing a lot of optic nerve damage because you've lost your protection that regenerates from those macrophage stem cells in every part of the body. So that's why injecting directly into the blood, you bypass most of it. And then you target the hematopoietic stem cell and you've got accelerated myelopoiesis. You keep producing too much of your innate immune cells because you don't know when to stop. You've lost the regulation by all of the injection because the regulation is between the cells and the communication. So all the I just took this slide from a 2014 Autism One slide, and I just added all the things that will help. And so all the things that will help. So to start wrapping it up, how do you keep yourself healthy?
That's the question.
Healthy amino acids. Take away the glyphosate, take away the GMO, get dimethyl glycine, and you can methylate all those processes. So I often hear, I've got MTHFR. Well, that's because the only methyl donor you're thinking about is methionine. You're not thinking about choline, which makes dimethylglycine by way of trimethylglycine, which is betaine. These are nutrients that have been contaminated in our food. All we need is healthy food. That's the answer. These are two pictures of fabulous dimethylglycine products that have been made for decades. But I had forgotten about Roger Kendall's book, even though it was on my shelf, when a doctor called me and said, Judy, check it out. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's on my shelf. So now that we're talking again, we can help you. And so this is all the things it does. AIDS cardiovascular. And so then you've got it enhances the cell-mediated responses of T cells, B cells, macrophages, the things that are dysregulated. It calms down those inflammatory cytokine signals. It restores the balance in everything we're saying. Here's the compromised dendritic cell B regulatory cell. So if you're a B cell and you're making our IL-10 and you come in contact with a plasmacytoid dendritic cells with all those processes and it makes type 1 interferon, which it won't make if you inject it, you've got to expose the antigen in the way God intended. No more injections. This is why they hate us so much, because what goes down? More injections. So when you make alpha interferon, then your B regulatory cell will make the right kind of antibody.
I have to repeat something here, folks. Have to do it. No more injections. Did you hear this? Now, I am just passing on scientific information. I'm not making medical recommendations for your child. You can consult somebody you trust. But boy, do we have now an understanding of the mechanisms. This is just...
So when we're talking, there are solutions. Here's a simple, and I've got it right here. I'm telling you, I don't get sick for a reason. I do it myself. I'm just saying choosy mothers choose Jif. Food. I'm talking about food, healthy food. Treats systemic inflammatory diseases. And of course, these special lipid pro-resolving mediators. All our fats are fake. All our vaccines are fake fats. They're all GMOs. So we need to put in the building blocks, and that's these pro-resolving lipid mediators. And this is a 2021 paper that says those are great in inflammatory responses that are COVID. So again, yeah. Everything I'm showing you has a publication in 2021, but we knew this in 2004 and 5. They in endocannabinoid system. Oh, all of those other things. The dimmer switch. I just call it the dimmer switch on the immune system. All you need to know is you need healthy lipid bilayers. That's what your cell membranes. And you have these G-coupled proteins and these channels that transmit minerals, that transmit signals, charge down the bilayers. So here's, everybody always says, I had COVID. I lost my sense of taste and smell. That's damage G proteins. Taste, smell, pheromones. What are pheromones? So another animal knows the animal it's attracted to. It's not rocket science, folks. It's God. So so you didn't have, if you had COVID, yeah, part of it is disrupting all those G proteins. Like on the last slide, you don't have a healthy endocannabinoid system. What did we do in 1938? Oh, we took all the hemp and all the cannabis plants, all the strains out of our world. We can't use them as nutrition. We can't use them as food. This was all intended. Cation signals, our minerals are heavily depleted. This is a paper that we use, one of my AIDS research friends. He might not be my friend anymore because he's still publishing papers, Mike Leonardo. He's a great scientist. But here, look at all of those endocannabinoid receptors and channelopathies. And oh, by the way, then you also have purinergic regulation. So again, here's the cannabinoid. Take a phytocannabinoid, you block the inflammatory NF-kappa-B from that flying rat, and then you drive it toward type 1 interferon. Here's your interferon. So cannabinoids will block the entry of viruses, and those were just published. Here's one just published when I took it to Clay Clark's meeting. These are two abstracts. It just came out a month, 3 weeks ago. Cannabidiol inhibits viral replication. And it doesn't matter if it's the synthetic virus or the real virus, because everybody's got one of them right now. And those of us who got infected in 2010 from the XMRVs got those variants, Omicron and others. That's why they're not testing you and telling you the difference. They sound like geniuses because they knew what was in those cell lines for 30 years. So all they have to do is say, next time it's Marburg, next time it's Ebola. And I'm trying to show you, if you simply don't ever listen to them again and turn your mind, repent and change and take and use healthy formulations of cannabinoids. Here's another one, hemp. Hemp compounds, no THC. You don't have to change your brain, or you can take THC out of some of the cannabinoid phytocannabinoids and add beta carotene, which is what we do here. Here's how you use all terpenes are cannabinoids, but not all cannabinoids are terpene. So right here we have lemons, oranges, hops. They have different kinds of these chain that these proteins that signal down. So you could take advantage in the case of beta carotene from black pepper. You can modulate the CB2 pathway and all of those papers in INSET in that paper are various publications that show you all the cancers and all the chronic diseases. So the good news is the solutions have always been there. Here's just one product that we've helped formulate since 2014. With Andrew Serafini and his wife. We've been working in the autism space ever since they kicked me out of science. The people that accepted me, we go help. The Academy of Lutheran, here's another formulation that works. There's not just one product. You can look at the different formulations and see what they call them, adaptogenic herbs. That's what these are called, adaptogens. Why? They adapt the molecule to the biosystem that they need to regulate. And so here's the purinergic. You know, what are purines? The one we know, caffeine and 3-theobromine, tea and coffee. What do? We decaffeinate the things. How stupid are we? We've destroyed our purinergic signaling. If you're sensitive to caffeine, it means you have something going on in the regulation of your purines. You've got tissue injury. You've got something underlying the process. You don't just drink decaffeinated coffee when your heart starts racing. You go figure out what's wrong with the purinergic regulation of your immune system. So Suramin and ivermectin are purinergic modulators. They're only anti, you know, and so it's like, oh, it's a dewormer and we don't have worms. Yeah, you have endogenous pathogens, just like microbiome and viromes. Guarantee you got some fungi in there to teach you what's self and non-self, what's in your environment and what's not. So RNA helicase, Oh, what does ivermectin do? It changes the shape, helicase, make it into, twist it into a circle. Oh, so what's that going to do? Prevent the synthetic RNA in the shot from hurting your DNA, twist it up so it can't get there from here.
Yep.
And here's just a summary of when you apply the intervention and what intervention works. So all you have to do is appreciate everything that I said to you in the last hour, and you've got how to help the genetically susceptible at the bottom, the people who are at risk, what they should stay on prophylactically. That's a vaccine. Prophylactics, mm-hmm. prevent disease development, keep the pathways healthy is all I've been saying. And all these things, melatonin, Griffison, CBDs, vitamin C, resveratrol. Resveratrol is red wine extracted. Alcohol extractions of drugs are great. And so again, you never get to the inflammatory, the systemic inflammatory diseases and cardiac failure if you do all of this in the beginning. And they know all of this. So what do they stop us all from doing? All of this.
Do all that.
And my husband was doing all of this. The good news behind my husband is they fabricated the death certificate. They certified his death from COVID on December 10th, 2021. But the autopsy was December 15th, and nothing in the autopsy was what was on the paper. So wow. We got them cold with a criminal lawsuit, and wow. We'll go after them to make sure it never happens again. Here's the nanotechnology. Look at all the garbage in the masks. This is an electron micrograph. This is our book. Healthy people do not wear masks. Cancer patients do not wear masks. Doctors wear masks in surgical wards so they don't spit in an open wound.
Exactly.
Does not sit in a room and spit his endogenous crippled immune system, cripple his glutathione, and breathe on you. No cancer patient should ever be in a mask. There's an on-off switch, a transcription factor called hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha, HIF 1 alpha. It's a blowtorch on a cancer. Two breaths in a mask in every cancer patient. And so you've injected a cancer-causing, remember I told you, murine leukemia virus. You injected a cancer-causing virus. You crippled the immune system in a cancer patient who already doesn't have an immune system.
This has been such a powerful presentation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. People who want the science, we have, you know, people like you who really know it so, so well that it's mind-blowing to those of us who are trying to follow it. But I mean, I know enough to understand enough that this is all total logical. We have the information, we know the information, and it's been suppressed. So thank you for your work in getting this message out to people. This, you know, you ended up on masks. You've touched heavily on vaccines and causes and what we can do. But in your own words, just summarize your message to people on what they should do going forward.
I think the simplest thing to do is fear only the Lord. Reduce your stress. Trust God. Trust the Bible. It's, you know, they're not suggestion. They're commandments. Don't kill, don't eat this, don't do this. You know, there's a reason. And whether we lean on our own understanding or not, that's not of God. God tells us, lean not on your own understanding, simply. And that's what, as a scientist, that's all I ever did. Hey, I don't care if I understand it. I'm going to show you all the data because somebody out there is going to have the gifts to translate it like you and to realize how to save patients. That's not what we do. So all we have to do is, in our lives, take back our own power, which we have. That's why I have We the People on today, because we can do it. Every single person can sit in the sun, if you don't live in Oregon, every single person can get vitamin D the natural way for 20 minutes. Don't put toxic sunscreens on your skin. Use essential oils. Use the things from nature, and then just use to, you know, go back to just a healthy lifestyle. No GMO. I pretty well put it there. Everything is genetically modified. Don't do it. You'll live healthy, happy, wonderful lives. My husband got every last bit of energy out of his body. He, awesome. I mean, God doesn't make mistakes. Awesome. And so that's how we, and I learned a lot those last 5 days in that hospital. Had I not gotten in there, I would have cried. And because I would not have realized half of what I told you today.
Yeah. Thank you, Judy. Thank you for your sacrifice and for your ministry and your mission. And I hope you carry on. We'll partner up, I'm sure, at some point and put together this information in an easy way for people to digest on what to do. But remember, folks, no fear. Fear harms your immune system. You've been given a wealth of things you can do to prevent problems. And once you have issues, just stay out of the hospital and get with a practitioner who knows what they're doing. You don't need to fear this thing. Thanks again.
Thanks again, Paul.
Welcome, Bernadette, to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. You need no introduction. You are one of our regulars. I'm very excited for what you're bringing to our audience today. A couple things. You want to talk about peace and what's going on with frustrations that we have in this current psychological war, if you will.
Yes.
And then I know you're going to introduce a great surprise for our audience. So I'm not even going to say what it is. I'm going to let you spring that on them. It's like, oh, yes, so good. So anyway,
okay.
Take it from here. What would you like to share this week?
So I want to share some words of inspiration, which you hinted at is a surprise because where it comes from.
I have therefore chosen this time and place to discuss a topic on which ignorance too often abounds and the truth too rarely perceived. And that is the most important topic on earth, peace. I realize the pursuit of peace is not as dramatic as the pursuit of war. And frequently the words of the pursuers fall on deaf ears, but we have no more urgent task. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. World peace, like community peace, does not require that each man love his neighbor. It requires only that they live together in mutual tolerance, submitting their disputes to a just and peaceful settlement. Peace need not be impractical, and war need not be inevitable. By defining our goal more clearly, by making it seem more manageable and less remote, we can help all people to see it, to draw hope from it, and to move irresistibly towards it. Genuine peace must be the product of many nations, the sum of many acts. It must be dynamic, not static, changing to meet the challenge of each new generation. For peace is a process, a way of solving problems. So let us not be blind to our differences, but let us also direct attention to our common interests and the means by which those differences can be resolved. And if we cannot end now our differences, at least we can help make the world safe for diversity. For in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures, and we are all mortal. The United States, as the world knows, will never start a war. We do not want a war. We do not now expect a war. This generation of Americans has already had enough, more than enough, of war and hate and oppression. We shall be prepared if others wish it. We shall be alert to try to stop it. But we shall also do our part to build a world of peace where the weak are safe and the strong are just. We are not helpless before that task or hopeless of its success. Confident and unafraid, we must labor on, not towards a strategy of annihilation, but towards a strategy of peace. The kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living. The kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children.
Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time.
So that was John F. Kennedy, June 10th, 1963. And, you know, when you apply that message to COVID, to what we've been experiencing, it's very powerful. But we can do this. I love when he said, these problems are man-made, so we can fix them.
Absolutely.
We can do this. So again, I'm gonna share with you some ideas that I came to sort of help guide myself that I hope others will find beneficial. So first of all, we all have to be aware of reacting without full knowledge and understanding of what we're witnessing. So for instance, there was like a bill, a controversial bill that was here in Tennessee. It wasn't controversial for us, it was a great bill. But there was just so much behind it and so much people did not know about who knew what before the committee. There was so much misunderstanding that going on that if you were just witnessing what was taking place in the committee room, you reacted without really, you know, that full knowledge. And we have to be aware of that. We have to always step back and say, to make sure we know exactly what has just unfolded before we react so that we don't, you know, react out of that just impulse, which can lead to more division. And we have to be aware of the strong emotions because we're going to school board meetings, we're going to legislative meetings, we're going to rallies, we're going to all these places. And with us in our hearts and clutching photos are people who've been harmed, people that we've lost. And so, you know, we have to be aware that those emotions can overcome us at any time and begin to drive our actions. So it's time now. When you're at home, to contemplate if you are in a situation that begins to turn against you, that will trigger your emotions, what will you do? What will I do? What will be my plan of action so that I can stand against injustice? I can stand against the lies and what is going on, and I can fully be a dissenter, but without being violent, angry, or having my actions be perceived as such, right? How can I be effective in a peaceful way? And I need to study that more. I mean, there's just sitting down or kneeling and folding my hands. There's clasping hands with others. And maybe, you know, there may be other things. And I think that might be a future episode we can talk about. Maybe people could tell us about their experiences where they were able to turn something into peaceful and still have that very strong presence, that strong showing of strength against what is being done.
Yeah, you bring up such a great point. I think it's so important when we communicate with people who feel differently, who perhaps have, you know, really filled their whole beings with the messaging that comes at you from television. If you're spending a lot of time watching that source, oftentimes you see things from a perspective that, you know, Bernadette, you and I don't really relate to as reality. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we don't want to make anybody wrong, because if I'm going to make you wrong in our communication, I've closed the door on us being able to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so it's a matter, I think, of asking questions, staying loving, and trying to see if we can understand one another, because
yeah,
I love that you brought up JFK's speech there on peace. What a powerful message that's fitting even for today, right? As we see war starting around the world, that's not what anybody wants.
No, we've got so many types of wars being waged right now. And a lot of it is being driven just by words. And you know, we feel at a loss often. We don't know who to trust or who to believe about what is actually happening. So, you know, that's one of my bullet points there is the vast majority who stand against us. And, you know, for us, I'm talking usually medical freedom, informed consent, that sort of thing. The vast majority don't know they're being lied to.
Right.
And you know, they're one by one as they experience it, they're like, and they're just face to face with a lie, and they know it's a lie that begins to crack open that, you know, what has been put before them, and they begin to see the truth. So we have to keep that grace in our heart and that ability to forgive and just educate. And it doesn't, we don't have to have everybody wake up for this to turn to the good. There will be that tipping point. I believe we're really close to it. In some places we are there, right?
Yeah.
And then just continue to remind ourselves that words are the weapons of this war, the medical freedom war, the freedom war completely. But there also are weapons of peace. And if we stick to those words, and we find those peaceful ways to continue to reach out. The truckers in Canada, how brilliant was that? There were so many attempts to sabotage and make them react violently out of anger, and they did not. They did not rise to it. They stayed peaceful. And we need that to happen everywhere.
Yeah.
A reminder to myself, reminder to everybody out there.
Well, this was a wonderful reminder to, you know, take that peaceful approach. And I love how you said it. You're still passionate, but learning ways of maybe connecting more effectively.
Yeah. And be prepared what you're going to do when you are in a moment where you're overwhelmed. So you've got that tool at your disposal, and you can grab it right away. So thank you, Dr. Paul. And thank you for all you do. You're always passionate and peaceful.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I try. What peaceful actions might you leave our viewers with that people can kind of, because I think a lot of people just don't know what to do, right? As you start to wake up to what's actually going on, that and it's like, oh my goodness. And then I think we freeze. We don't know how to get involved. What can we do? You know, what would you suggest?
You know, I think one of the hardest things to do, I mean, it's easy to do, just tell somebody, yet that's all often one of the hardest things to do at first. When you first begin to speak out about truth and share a little bit, share the study, share that outside of your circle of people who think like you do, that's scary, but it's also liberating when you find that you'd be surprised how many people are receptive to what you have to say if you offer it kindly and step back, you know, without judgment. So just begin that effort. And once you begin to do it, you'll be really surprised. I've been doing it for years now, and I've met the most amazing people. Nobody stands in a grocery line or gets on the phone with me like a tech at Comcast or something without hearing the truth or getting the website to Informed Choice Washington or something. So
just for fun, Bernadette, we're standing in the grocery line. We just met. I've got a little kid in tow. What do you say to me?
Well, you know, I usually something opens a conversation. There'll be a mask dangling, but not worn, you know, or just something. And I'll just make a little foray into a conversation as, you know, it's kind of silly how they make us do this or that, right? What do you think? And
I agree. I just haven't seen this mask thing the way they're portraying it to make any kind of sense.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of times in the beginning, I had people approach me, especially like on a mask issue, because they would come up to me and they'd take down their mask and say, how do you do it? You shop without a mask. And I say, well, I just walk in the door. That's it. That's all I do. And if anybody asks, I say, you know, I have a medical reason, and they leave me alone. And I do have a medical reason. I'm a human being that needs oxygen to survive. And I've read the science on the masks, and I'm very respectful. I do not believe I should be around spreading disease. So if I have symptoms, I do not go out shopping. I am very respectful, but I don't, I don't play the game. So.
Yeah, thankfully the mask issue is winding down. I'm here on the West Coast where you used to be.
Right.
And
it's winding down.
In 1 week in Oregon, we will only have to wear masks in medical situations.
Okay, but what you just said right there, Dr. Paul, you've just given them the power, right? You have it, but you know what I mean?
Oh, because absolutely.
Right. They're going to use masks again. If we don't get the science that these masks don't help,
right.
Then we're going to be masked up again in the future. In the near
you
future.
See it coming. They're just, right. The virus is gone now, so you can get rid of your mask, but you still need to wear them in a medical setting. It's crazy.
No, so we have to overcome the misinformation, the disinformation, and the malinformation that is being spread by public health. We have got to get the real word out. There was the great new surgeon, what's his title? Down in Florida, he it's all over Twitter now. He gave a great talk dangling a mask saying, you know, the science doesn't show that these help. And that's what we need. We need more officials speaking the truth so they can't be used us against. And that's on all fronts. So just the action is take that little step of being bold and standing in your truth and sharing information, and then step back and don't push too hard. Like Bernadette, don't open up the fire hose and let it all out at once, unless you get a receptive audience, you know.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thank you, Bernadette. This was very powerful segment. I appreciate your contribution.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dr. Paul.
Dr. Paul here. Doctorsandscience.com is where you go to get access to my exclusive members-only section. This is how you, the viewers, support our work. We have no sponsors. We are fully supported by you, our viewers. What do you get in the members section? It's quite a list. You get access to a couple of my ebooks. The first one is the authoritative reference list for my Vaccine Friendly Plan book. I also have written a book, very extensive, called Everyday Health, that covers pretty much what I think you should be doing if you want to live a healthy life in this world today. But there is so much more. Join me monthly for a live Q&A. Submit your questions online. Make sure you get them answered. That is my intention for you. It's a time for us to interact. In addition to this, you get transcripts of every show. We have other bonus content. And I think one of the huge bonus content pieces is the PowerPoints of the talks I'm giving as I travel around the country. People are always asking me, how can we get those PowerPoints? This is how you do it. Head on over to doctorsandscience.com and become a member and join the team of Against the Wind. Help me spread the truth and share this on social media and with your friends at doctorsandscience.com. I look forward to running with you against the wind. Go to our website, doctorsandscience.com, sign up, donate if you can, and let's make this the weekly show the nation's been waiting for. I'm Dr. Paul.